Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music. What a blessing that was, and what a great message as well. And thank the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is the faith chapter of the Bible. I love this chapter, and Lord willing, we're going to be in this for a few weeks because there's so much here. And one of the first things that humanity needs to understand is faith. And it's because without faith, you can't be saved. But then after you get saved, the key to living the Christian life is faith. And so go ahead and stand with me if you found your place there. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verse 1 to 3, and then we're going to drop down and read 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Now, verse 5. "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God hath translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you today, we thank you for this privilege that you've made available to us to be in church. Thank you for each one that's taken advantage of their opportunity and have assembled themselves together here today. And I just pray, God, that you would, Lord, just meet with us in a very special way. I pray that you would prepare the hearts of all that are here, that they would be able to have that ear to hear and a heart to make an application. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We find here the Bible defines biblical faith, the only place in the scriptures that gives us the definition of faith. And verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And so basically, being certain of things hoped for and convinced of things that we cannot see. I believe it. I'm certain and I'm convinced. Faith is an act of the free will. God will never force anyone to believe. You have to choose from your own free will to believe. And praise the Lord for that. We find that the one servant said to the Lord, said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I want to believe. I don't want there to be limitations on what I believe." And we have to choose to want to believe. So faith is an act of the free will. It involves the mind and it involves the heart. Faith is basically believing God. Believing God. Through it, we can be saved. Without faith, you cannot be saved. You have to believe in God. You have to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah who came to this earth to pay a sin debt that I owed and couldn't pay. You have to believe that. And if you believe that, then you have an opportunity then with your own free will, with your mind and your heart, to ask Jesus Christ to become your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart and save you. So through it, I can be saved, but by it, I can do whatever it is that God wants me to do. In this chapter 11, we find that this is for New Testament Christianity. This is for you and I to look to and read and study and learn from. And so not only did he give us a definition of faith, but he gives us examples of everything that has been accomplished by individuals by faith. And if God's recorded it for us to read this and study it, that means that we can accomplish some of the very same things if we have the very same faith. So if you look down through here, there's a list of so many that by faith Abel, and we studied that a few weeks ago. It tells us what Abel did. And then it says by faith Enoch, that's what we're going to be looking at today. By faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith all the way down, if you will, from verse 4 down to verse 31, it reveals to us some examples of what men and women were able to do simply by faith. But you can't do it by faith until you have, through faith, believed and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus actually taught his disciples that they could remove mountains by faith with this stipulation: have faith and doubt not. When you start doubting God and you start doubting the very words of God, you start doubting the promise of God, you'll lose it. The enemy of faith is doubt. But if you have faith as God wants you to have faith, and if God wants you to move mountains, you can move mountains, because faith is relying upon and believing in God and his abilities, not mine. And God's able to do all things. So by faith, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us of what Abel did. We preached on that a few weeks ago. This morning, verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. This is what he did. He had this testimony that he pleased God. So faith enabled him to please God. And the rewards for pleasing God are beyond human comprehension. So Enoch's testimony. The Bible reveals to us Enoch's testimony in three different passages of Scripture. Let's study that. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, in case you don't know who Enoch was. Here in Genesis chapter 4, we have the genealogy Genesis chapter 5. There, look there with me. One over. Genesis chapter 5. We have the genealogy of Seth. And this is the genealogy of Seth before God destroyed the world. As we study the Scriptures, we find that God created humanity. And then humanity with a free will, after a certain period of time, humanity turned completely away from belief in God. And because of this, we find that God destroyed the world. And we'll see this in just a few minutes. But as we look here into chapter 5 of Genesis, we find here the genealogy of Seth, which was the godly seed as it started out. And Enoch would have been the seventh from Adam. In verse 21, this is what the Bible says about Enoch. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Now, he begot the oldest living man on record. Methuselah lived longer than any man on record. The Bible says that Methuselah lived 969 years. You say, wow, that's hard to believe. Well, you have to understand, it was a different set of circumstances on planet Earth. This is before the flood. And this is before a lot of sin and a lot of things had taken place that caused man to age. But God had created man to live eternally. It wasn't until man's fall that he started dying. And so early man, before the flood, lived much longer. And Methuselah is he lived longer than any man on record, 969 years. So, his father was who we're looking at today, Enoch. Okay, this is what the Bible records. This is what God has revealed to us. And Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch lived 65 years in which he did not walk with God. As we study the Bible right here, there would have been 65 years without faith. There would have been a conversion experience. As we look to the Word of God, the Bible tells us that that every one of us, especially in this day and age, if we are going to be saved, there has to be a conversion experience. A conversion experience is when I, of my own free will, acknowledge the fact that I'm lost, in need of a Savior, and have faith to believe that Jesus Christ died to pay a sin debt that I owed and couldn't pay. And when I, of my own free will, have enough faith to believe that, then I, of my own free will, receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so when that takes place, that is a conversion experience. And after that takes place, then we find that we are saved and we have the opportunity to live for God. Here we find in Enoch's testimony that it was 65 years before he had a conversion. After the 65 years, something happened, and from that point on, for the next 300 years, he would walk with God. In this particular time in human history, the world would be getting worse and worse. The world, humanity, would start turning away from God and turning to their own lust of the flesh and lust of the mind and the pride of life. It would have been getting worse and worse. It got to the place that before God destroyed the world with the flood, in chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6, this is what the Bible records. This is where humanity was before the flood. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Mankind had turned away from God, and by turning away from God, their minds, because they chose not to believe in God, their minds started thinking evil. And there was no stopping how far the mind of man would go in evil if they did not have the belief in God. And that's true today. There's no limit to how far a man can go away from God and the evil his mind can think of if he doesn't have the faith to believe in God. Can I tell you that that's the problem with our society today and young people today, is they have been fed a lie that there's no creator God. And outside of belief, just simple belief in God, the mind will go an opposite direction, and Satan will control the thoughts of that mind and the heart of that individual. And the Bible says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, mankind today is heading in the very same direction that they did before God destroyed the world with the flood. But we go back to Enoch. So the world was getting worse, and for the first 65 years, Enoch did not walk with God. Something happened. What happened in verse 21, it says this, and Enoch lived 65 years, and what happened, the Bible records, He begot Methuselah. He had a son. He experienced the miracle of birth. And by experiencing and through the experience of the miracle of birth, he understood there has to be a God. This design, what has just taken place, there has to be an intelligent design that put all this together. And he believed. The Bible says right after that, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. That was the conversion point. 300 years. And begot sons and daughters. That's when Enoch believed. Now, if you will, Hebrews in chapter 11, our text here, speaking of Enoch, after he speaks of Enoch, he says in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe. It's an act of the free will that goes into the mind and then into the heart. If you're saved here this morning, can I tell you there has been a conversion experience in your life? And you of your own free will believe in God. And as you first of all believe that there is a God, then you study to understand what God says a person must do in order to be saved. Whether you heard it from a preacher, you heard it from somebody witnessing to you, or you read it on a tract, or you came to church, or whatever it might have been, you read your Bible, but you come to the place you believe that there is a God, and then you read what the Bible says a person must do to be saved, and you not only believe that, you receive that. You allow that to be your thinking, and that's what come into your heart. I want salvation. I want Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, that is your conversion. That is an experience that translates you from being lost to now to being saved. For 65 years, we don't have the record of Enoch believing. Something happened. God used this to open his eyes. If you're saved here this morning, can I tell you that God used something to open your eyes to get you to the place of faith to believe? Praise the Lord for whatever God used. Because that brought you a conversion experience. If you've never been converted, if you don't have a conversion experience, you're not saved. You haven't had the faith to believe and then the mind to seek out, now that I believe there is a God, to diligently seek out, what does God require of me? What is God's plan for me being saved? How can I be reconciled to him? Enoch did that, and for the next 300 years, his testimony was this. He walked with God. Oh, that should be our testimony. Enoch's example and the testimony is example of walking with God is something that you and I ought to look to have as a testimony as well. Once you get saved, once you know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all mankind and you have received him, then from that point you know it's real. You ought to have a desire to walk with him. Of walking in the same direction and not deviating from it. When you believe in God and you believe this is God's will, you know it to be God's ways, to walk that way. In the book of Micah, the prophet Micah, in chapter 6 and verse 8, he says this, the Lord, what the Lord requires of us is to do justly and to love mercy and to humbly walk with thy God. Enoch's testimony that we have here in Hebrews Hall of Faith and God presenting it to us so that we in New Testament Christianity could read this and find out, all right, what did Enoch do? Why is Enoch in this Hall of Faith? Enoch, by faith, had this testimony. The first thing he had the testimony is he walked with God for 300 years. He walked with God. Can I help you here? Stop asking God to walk with you. We must not ask God to walk with us, but we must always look to walk with Him. Yeah. His direction is what we ought to be looking to. We were created for His pleasure. He did not present Himself to us for our pleasure. By faith, we can have this testimony that we walk with God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Thessalonica, and this is what he wants them to understand, this very same truth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren," talking to those that are saved now that you've been saved, "and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. You have been instructed, we have written to you, and we have given you example that what you need to do is you just look to walk with God. And as you look to walk with God, you can abound." That means you can accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. You can have the blessings of God upon your life. Don't expect the blessings of God upon your life if you're just asking God to walk with you and you're not looking to walk with Him. It's not about how we want to live our lives and what we want to accomplish. It's all about if there is a Creator God, and there is. It's all about looking to Him and saying, "God, what do you have? What purpose do you have in my life? Now that I have been saved, I have received you as my Savior. You have a purpose for my life." And that purpose begins with walking with Him every day. You see, it's not hard. The Christian life is not difficult to understand. It's by faith you believe that there is a God. That's where it begins. If you don't have that, it's over. You can't live the Christian life. But when you believe that, and then you understand by faith what you have to do to be saved. And then once you are saved, you understand that God has a purpose and a plan for my life. And that purpose and plan is something that all of us have in common. Walk with Him. He's there. And He wants you to walk with Him. Yeah. It's our testimony. "For you know," He says in verse 2, "for you know that what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." It was not the commandments of man. We're not trying to get you to follow the Baptist doctrine. We're not trying to get you to follow Lighthouse Baptist Church. Not first and foremost, we're trying to get you to follow God. And you allow the church to influence you to follow God, to be Christian, be Christ-like, to walk with Him. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." God says, you need to know your life. God has a purpose for your life, and it is to be separated unto Him. To conform to the image of Jesus Christ is how we ought to live. That would be our testimony. We walk with God. The Bible gives us some insight into Enoch in the book of Jude. Look there with me, Jude. The last book before the book of Revelation. The book of Jude, verse 14 and 15. Hebrews reveals to us that there's a testimony of Enoch. And that testimony is that he pleased God. How did he please God? First of all, he believed, had a conversion, and he walked with God. Not only did he walk with God, but as we look here, what the Bible says, this is his testimony given to us in the book of Jude. In Jude, verse 14, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So we find here the Bible records this testimony of Enoch. Not only did Enoch's testimony state that he walked with God, but now we find that Enoch's testimony was that he prophesied. Or if you will, for 300 years, he was used of God. What a testimony. When you believe in God and know that God wants to work through you, that's life-changing. That's life-changing. That changed my life. When I, first of all, as an 8-year-old, I had belief enough to know that I didn't want to go to hell and I wanted to get saved, and my conversion experience was simple faith to believe that Jesus died for me. And he's going to take me to heaven when I die. And I can escape the damnations of hell. And I can have a Savior that will dwell within me and never leave me nor forsake me. I, as an 8-year-old child, boy, I said, I want that. I want Jesus as my Savior. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Simple faith, salvation. Just takes a little simple faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God who came to this earth to die to pay your sin debt, and you just receive him of your own free will. And I received him. I started learning more about him. I started learning more about the idea of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When I fully come to that understanding of God lived inside of me, when I started understanding, I didn't understand that until I was in my late teens, early 20s. I finally understood that. And when I understood that, it led me, amen, it led me to want to serve him. Because I realized if God's in me, he has a purpose for this body. He has a purpose for this temple. He has a purpose for my life. I wanted to live my life at that point to be used of God. It changed my life. It changed my focus. It changed my directions. It led me to have a godly wife. It led me to desire to establish a godly home. It led me to make sure that I was involved in a godly church because I wanted to hear more. I couldn't get enough. Eventually, it led me to give my life into ministry. Because first of all, a testimony, I believe God, and I'm walking with God, and now I'm going to be used by God. That's Enoch's testimony. Yeah. The Bible says in Acts in chapter 1, every person that gets saved has the indwelling of a Holy Spirit. We studied this in Sunday morning Sunday school. And having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to do one main thing, to give you power to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That takes place at salvation. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's exactly what the testimony of Enoch was. After 65 years, he had a conversion. And after the conversion, he had a testimony that he walked with God. And not only did he have a testimony that he walked with God, he prophesied. He was being used of God. Yeah. Every one of us here can have that testimony and should have that testimony. Amen. We love the Lord. We walk with him. We live the life we live because we believe in an almighty God. Yeah. I believe that Jesus Christ lives within me. He has a purpose for my life, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Amen. Lastly, this morning, go back with me to our text in Hebrews chapter 11. Three passages of Scripture that deal with Enoch, and we studied all three of these. But we go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Because it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because Now that was a blessing, and we'll get into that just, but that was because of this. Because God had translated him, for before his translation, this is Enoch's part, he had this testimony. Simply please God. For 300 years, he focused on his walk with God and being used of God. That's how we please him. Are we living our life with the desire to have a testimony? I believe in God, and you can see it through my walk with God and my understanding that God has a purpose for my life. If you are, then you can expect God to do some miraculous things in our lives. It's a miraculous thing to have a peace that passeth all understanding. That peace that passeth all understanding is simply this: I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, whatever happens to me in this world, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. No matter what happens in this world, the worst thing is we could die in all sorts of different ways, but if I die, I know that I'm going to go to be with the Lord in heaven. Amen. That is a peace that you can't find anywhere else. You can't be employed by anyone else that can give you that kind of peace. You can't be engaged in any kind of lifestyle in this world that's going to help you to have that kind of a peace of mind. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. It brings to me a joy of the Lord. Not a joy of the flesh, not a joy of the world, not a joy, but a joy that comes from God. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, then that's why you don't have the strength that you need to have, that you're looking for. But you can have a peace and you can have a joy if you have a testimony that's pleasing God. He was translated that he should not see death. And recorded for us to understand that, to read that. God is not limited by what he has established in nature. Even though he could have lived on this earth another 600 years, Methuselah lived over 900 years. But he would have had to go through things that God says, I'm not going to have you go through it. He would not have to witness the ungodly conditions of the world as men would turn away from their belief in God. He would not have to witness the tribulations and the destruction of the world. Because he pleased God, God recorded, he just took him. He just took him on to heaven. Can I tell you, even in this 21st century, the very same thing happens? Now, they didn't find his body because God took him out. Now, that's not going to happen with us. That's not, but you won't understand what takes place after God takes us. Dying in this world is not that big of a deal when you know that heaven is my home. Paul would state, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Why? Because he had faith. He had faith to believe in God's promises of everlasting life. 1 Corinthians, we're done. 1 Corinthians, look there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have this testimony of Enoch, and then the blessing that God wanted us to see and how he blessed that man that pleased him, walked with him for 300 years. Now, we're not going to have 300 years, amen? But whatever life we have, our testimony ought to be the same. And if your testimony is the same, then you can rejoice over what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. The Bible says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The Bible says in the rapture, if God doesn't take you before the rapture, in the rapture, before you know it, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. See, what Jesus Christ is going to do for us in this New Testament church age, before the tribulation that this world's going to go through, before, I don't know how far, how worse that this world's going to get, how bad things are going to get before the rapture, but I know that we're going to be raptured out before the tribulation. And if you read in the Bible concerning the tribulation, it's a blessing that God has for us not to have to go into the tribulation. For those that are saved, the Bible says you will be raptured up as Enoch was taken up. We will be raptured up. And the Bible says concerning that at the last trump it shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal should have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, that which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a victory. God blessed Enoch with a victory. He just took it. Understanding that, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, all that are saved, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. By faith, every one of us here can have this very same testimony. We walk with God, and we are used of God to accomplish His purpose. Do you have a desire to have that kind of testimony? If you do, you can have it by faith. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. It's what the Bible tells us about Enoch and what he was able to accomplish by the very same faith that God wants us to have. Oh, to have the very same testimony. Father, we bow before you now. We thank you for this book of Hebrews and this insight into the life of Enoch and how you worked in his life. And I pray, God, that we today would be able to learn from this. And if there's anyone here that has not come to that point in their life where they have been converted, I pray that today, by being in this church and hearing this message, would be what you would use to get them to that conversion. Time and a day when they have been saved, when they have put their faith in you and received everlasting life. I pray that would take place today with all who might be here that would be lost. And then for those that are saved, God, that we might look to have this testimony that as believers that we are walking with God and surrendering our lives to accomplish what you have us here to accomplish. I pray that you'd work now in this invitation. Bless, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.